From the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 1, we're going to take these prayer requests before the Lord here in just a moment. We're going to read our text here tonight and move on. Deuteronomy, chapter number 1, verse number 6. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh there unto, in the plain and in the hills and in the valley, in the south and by the seaside, and to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in, possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Praise God. I feel evangelistical tonight. I don't know if I'm just happy everybody's back or amen, but I am. But I feel evangelistical tonight. And so I'm going to do my best to preach and let the Lord work. I want to be receptive to it tonight. As I was praying this afternoon, I said, God, I don't want just a word. And I want His word. I want His will. But I don't want just a word. I want His prophetic word. I want Him to speak to this church. Amen. And to help us. And so I feel like this is where we're going to go today. Praise God. Amen. Why don't we just ask the Lord to help us tonight, and let's take these prayer requests before the Lord today. Heavenly Father, we love You. We're so in love with You. I pray, God, that You would touch those tonight that are in need of healing in their body. We pray for Sister Pam that You would touch and heal her. Sister Melissa, Maya, Brother Daniel, God, lift them up, Lord. Touch them, heal their bodies. Touch Sister Kenda. Help her, God, and heal her body, I pray, in Jesus' name. God, we pray for Sister Roxanna. Pray that You would keep Your hand upon her. We pray for her brother, God, that somehow or another You would find in Your ability, Your will to have mercy, God, and to reach down and to touch his body and to heal him and to raise him up in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that You would touch Sister Moody, Brother Moody, Sister Johnson, and all of those others, God, that are sick. Touch Your body, Lord, the church of the living God, and the sickness that has gone through this country. I pray, God, that You would touch all of them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Help us here tonight. Let Your word speak to us. Let it minister to our heart. Let it, the wind of the Holy Ghost, blow up on the embers of our heart and to ignite something that is down deep within there, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, and I feel and I know, God, that there is the seed of revival that is within inside of us, Lord. And I pray, God, that the wind of the Spirit would blow upon that ember, God, and that it would flare up, Lord Jesus, and become a fire of revival. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. And God bless you today, and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to do a little bit of repeating of myself from Sunday night, and so just bear with me on some of this. I had no intentions of preaching this tonight, but as I began to think about it and pray about it, it just kept coming and kept coming and kept building. I said, you know what? I'm preaching tonight about moving out, and I thought to myself, I need to go dwell on that a little bit longer. Praise God. But I want to preach revival time. Amen. Revival time. Praise God. I do believe that there are seasons within the church. There are seasons within all of our lives. It just has to be so. I don't know of any place that has harvest season all year around. But you go look at these farmers, and reality is that there's nobody harvesting anything right now. Those fields are covered in corn husk and a little dusting of snow every once in a while. But there's going to come a time, there's going to come a day that we're going to see the plows get back out there, and they're going to sink them plows down deep into that dirt, begin to turn it over. They're going to begin to plant some things, and we're going to see life come into that. And that doesn't mean it's time to harvest. It means it's time to wait. And they'll spread their insecticides and such on it and do their thing and stuff. But there will come a time for harvest. And when there comes a time for harvest, then you're going to see the combines out there, and they'll be out there and they'll be harvesting whatever it is, whether it's the soybeans or the cotton or the wheat or the corn. But it'll be time, and they'll be out there with those combines doing just that. As my friend said, we were driving down the road one day, and he saw one of those big old huge combines going down the road, taking up his lane plus half of our lane. He said, "Look at that big concubine." Say, well, it's not quite a concubine, but it is a combine. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And there is a law. There is a law of what you reap. What you reap, what you sow is what you're going to reap. And so we want to make sure that we are sowing good things. Amen. We want to make sure that we are sowing in love and with patience and the Word of God, and we're planting it in our hearts, and those things are going to come up. You cannot be a carnal individual and expect spiritual things to come up, you know, and you ought not to be surprised when spiritual things don't come up. Amen. Praise God. If you sow with the wind, you're going to reap with the wind. And so you've got to be diligent about it. And if you want to reap spiritual things, then you've got to sow spiritual things. Amen. You're going to have to read the Word of God. You're going to have to spend some time in prayer. You're going to have to spend some time doing the things that He loves. And in doing so, there is going to come a season that is going to happen. If you fill your life with frivolities and with all of the other little excesses of the world and stuff, you're going to reap those things. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I can speak to that for truth, because I've been sowing to my body like little chocolates and little cookies and little things like that. And I am, what you laughing about? I am reaping, and I'm going to have to harvest. I'm going to have to, amen, take some stuff off. Otherwise, as they all said, you get too big for your britches. Amen. That's about where we're going to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Amen. But there comes a time for all things. Praise God. Amen. There comes a time for all things. And dwelling around this mountain was nothing. First of all, it was nothing new for the children of Israel. They had been wandering around the wilderness and around the mountain for some 40 years, but it goes back further than that. And as a matter of fact, we're here in our text where the Lord said, "Turn, take your journey, and go to the Mount of the Amorites." Go to the Mount of the Amorites. This was the will of God. This is what God wanted them to do. I want you to go to the Mount of the Amorites. We have to go back from Deuteronomy. We have to go all the way back into the book of Genesis, chapter number 15. And in verse number 16, the Bible says, "But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." And I don't have time to go preach that. That's an entirely different message. But God had already dictated and prophesied that this was where that the children of Israel were going to go. This was where the people of God were going to wind up. This is just Abraham here, but in time to come, this was the path that the Lord was heading to. Abraham was getting there, walking, and of course you have Abraham and then Isaac, and from Isaac we have Jacob, and then we go forth with the 12 tribes of Israel. So in a sense, it's taking four generations to get to where God wants to go. But there's a couple of things that are happening in the process of all of this. Number one, the children of God have gone from just Abraham to the 12 tribes of Israel to literally several hundred thousand people. And even theologians will speculate well over a million, and some even say several million. But When you get into the Bible and you begin to look at the time that the Lord began to count the children of Israel, it was the men of 21 years of age and older, and there were some over a half a million just within that age group. And so God was using time to incubate His people. God was using time to grow His people. And being around the Mount of Horeb, as we learned on Sunday night, they were learning some things. There was a time to be patient. And as we spoke, and I'm not going to get back into that, but I believe that God would have led them straight from Egypt over there into that. But we know that 2 spies said yes, and 10 said no, we can't do that. And so God said, well, you stayed over there 40 days spying out the land. You can stay here in the wilderness for 40 years. And then God used that time to build his people. Now, in the process of all of this, we also see that they spent time in Egypt, in a land of bondage. But it was through the Egyptian incubators that God grew his people. And so God uses friction. God uses pressure. God uses time. God uses all kinds of things in order to build and to form his people. And we cannot become impatient about that as long as we are following the will of God. Praise God. Amen. As long as we are following and in the will of God. That's the first thing that's happening. But the second thing that is happening is spoken of there in the book of Genesis 15 and 16, where the Lord said, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Amen. The cup of the Amorites, the cup of iniquity, it is not yet full. And so the Amorites are going to take this time, and whereas the children of Israel are going to grow stronger and stronger and stronger, the Amorites are going to grow worse and worse and worse. They're going to be caught up in their idolatry and in their sin and such. And there's going to come a time that in a prophetic way of types and shadows, that there is a time of judgment. And God is going to judge the Amorites. Praise God. And so for 40 years, the children of Israel spend around this mountain by the name of Horeb. Horeb is known as the mountain of God. There's quite a few different spiritual things that happen around this mountain for a period of time. We understand that God speaks to them. We know that the Ten Commandments are given to them. And we know that Sinai, which is interchangeable with Horeb, Sinai is a peak that is in that range there. And we know Sinai smokes and quakes under the power of God, and the children of Israel are there around that mountain. It is at Horeb that not only the Ten Commandments come forth, but there at Horeb, the Bible teaches us that Moses smote the rock and water came forth from it for the people so that they might have something to drink. Exodus 17 and 6. It was at Horeb. The Ten Commandments were given. It was at Horeb that the dress code was changed. Exodus 33 and 6. The Bible said, and the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments and of there at Mount Horeb. Also, the Bible says there in the book of Exodus chapter number 33, he said that he has called his people out so that they would be different from all the people upon the face of the earth. Amen. God wanted a peculiar people. Amen. And he is still looking for a peculiar people. Now, you know what? There's a lot of people that just simply want to be a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. But I submit to you tonight and say, what's wrong with being a peculiar people when you are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood? Amen. We've all been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise God. Amen. And I also say today, amen, that God's people are not only going to be a called out people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, but God's people are going to be a peculiar people. Praise God. You ought not look like everybody else upon the face of the earth. That's not my rules. That's not my law. That's God's rules. If you've got a problem with separation, you don't have a problem with the pulpit. You've got a problem with God. If you've got a problem with looking like the world, you've got a problem with God. If you've got a problem with coming out from among the world, you've got a problem with God. You don't have a problem with the church. You don't have a problem with the preacher. You've got a problem with God. God wants His people to be completely different than all the people upon the face of the earth. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Psalm 68 and 7. O God, when Thou wentest forth from Thy people, when Thou didst march through the wilderness, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. And so God revealed Himself unto His people there. And they got not just a school lesson, but they got a revelation. Amen, of this mighty God with the thunders and the lightnings and the shaking of the mountain. Amen. They got a revelation that they did not just serve any God, but they served a very, very powerful God. They served a live God. They served a God that could hear them, a God that could speak, a God that could provide for them. Praise God. And that was more than anybody else in the land could proclaim. Amen. Praise God. There was no idols that could provide water from a rock. There were no idols that was about there. No Ashtoreth. There was nobody out there. No Baal. No nobody that was out there. Amen. That was going to rain manna down for 40 years unto His people. The children of Israel not only had a good thing going, they knew they had a good thing going. Praise God. And I know that they messed up quite oftentimes. Amen. But they knew who to come back to with. Amen. At that same time. Because they weren't getting from the world's God what they could get from their God. Amen. They weren't being supplied. And they weren't winning. Amen. When they were yoked up with the world like they were when they were yoked up with God. They knew who was true and who was real. Praise God. And so finally this God began to speak to them and began to tell them, amen, it is time for you to move out. You have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Amen. If I could just cause you to reminisce and to picture the things that have happened for the past 40 years, amen, you would say, hey, you know what? We've been living in high cotton. Amen. Praise God. We've been experiencing the honey. Amen. We've been feasting on the things of God. God's been talking to us. God's been dealing with us. God's been providing for us. Amen. God's been giving us manna. God's provided water from a rock. Amen. There's so many things that God, I mean, our shoes haven't worn out. Our clothes haven't grown old. Amen. Praise God. I don't know what diet they was on. Well, they was on a diet of manna. Amen. But they never even outgrew their clothes. Amen. Praise God. Maybe I need to go on a manna diet. Praise God. Don't say amen to that. Oh, you need to. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. I feel good tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. And so you could think about these things and you could think to yourself and say, hey, you know what? Horeb is not a horrible place. Horeb is a wonderful place. It's a great place. I know we've had some times, amen, of confusion and we got off on the wrong foot and we've seen that mountain smoke and we've seen the lightning flash and we've seen the wrath of God. We've seen those that were killed, and we've seen and we've heard and felt the judgment of God at times. But you know what? God's good. And every day when we wake up, there's manna that's out there, and God's never far from us. Amen. There He is. We can see the illumination of the fire at night. We can see the cloud over the tabernacle by the day. We can see all that. Hey, man, we've had it good for 40 years. I mean, why would anybody
you want to leave, amen, the buffet table that they had been sitting around for 40 years to go onto a battlefield. Amen. But I want you to know today that it was not the will of God for Horeb to be the end. Amen. But God wanted Horeb to be the beginning. It was good enough to be the end and for somebody to sign off and say, the end. Amen. But God said, hey, we've just got through the preface of this book. Amen. Let's get things good and starting now. Amen. What God was saying is, I've got so much more for you on the other side of Horeb. I've got so much more for you on the other side of Jordan. I've got more than manna for you. Amen. Beyond this mountain. Amen. I haven't schooled you and taught you. I haven't taught you the laws. I haven't taught you how to dress and how to act so that you could just have it right here around Horeb. I've taught you to be better. I've empowered you and endued you with power so that you could go forth and you could conquer. It was never my will for you to stay here at Horeb, but there would come a time, amen, that you would walk out from that. And now it is time. Amen. You have dwelt long enough in this mountain. It's time for you to turn and to take your journey and to go into the mount of the Amorites. You're big enough now. You're powerful enough now. You've got faith enough now. And it's time for the Amorites to be judged. I, the Lord, have declared this to be so. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It was at Horeb that they got rid of all the murmurs and the complainers. Amen, the bickering and the fighting. And now you've got a land and a group of people, amen, that's just pumped up about tomorrow. Amen, pumped up about what we're going to see tomorrow. Amen, Moses passes off the scene and Joshua picks up the rein. I want you to know you've got a million plus people. Amen, they're not murmuring and complaining. They're not hanging their head. They're not holding back. Amen. They're by encouraging. You ready to go? Amen. Hey, man. You ready to go? I'm ready to go. I've dwelt here long enough. It's time to get. I wonder what tomorrow is going to hold. I wonder what's on the other side of Jordan. I wonder what's going to be over there and what it's going to be like. I can hardly wait. All I know is that God's going to be with us because God said it's time to move out from around this mountain. Oh, let's worship the Lord here tonight. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Just as the pillar of fire signified, amen, that God was hanging out over the tabernacle. And just as the cloud that was over the tabernacle was signifying that the presence of God was there. And just like when the fire began to move, or when the cloud began to move, everybody knew it was time to go. And when God said, it's time to move, and you've dwelt long enough in this mountain, I believe there was a reverse revelation that began to understand. If God says it's time to move from this place, then that means that God's not going to be here in this place. He's going to be on the other side of Jordan. He's going to be over in Canaan's land. He's going to be over there where the Amorite is. He's going to be over there where the mount of the Amorites are. And where he is where I want to be. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord said, I've got some more things to teach you. I've got some things to put on your hat. I've got some feathers to put in your hat. I've got some battle winds to put upon, amen, to mark upon you. God is saying, if you follow after me, I'll give you more than what this wilderness could give you. I'll give you more, amen, than the manna that you could experience every morning. I'll give you more than water from a rock. I'll give you sweet clusters of grapes. I'll give you honey and milk that flows from the land. I'll give you houses that you did not build. I'll give you vineyards that you did not plant. I'll give you all of these things I've prepared already for you. Oh, yes. When God says it's time to move out, it's time to move out. Amen. What God really wants us to see and what God really wants us to experience is on the other side of Jordan. Amen. God, help us to not miss your God-given opportunity. I want to point out something right here in Scripture that when we go back into... when we go back into Deuteronomy chapter number 1, and we begin to look at this, and he says, turn you and take your journey in, or take your journey, and he said, and go to the mount of the Amorites. And he said, unto all the places nigh thereunto. And then he says it like this, in the plain, in the hills, in the valley, in the south, and by the seaside to the land of Canaan, unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now that's what he says in Deuteronomy chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Now let me take you to Joshua chapter number 4 and verse number 13. And here the Bible says, about 40,000 prepared for war. They passed over before the Lord unto the battle, unto the plains of Jericho. That's what he said in Deuteronomy 1 and 7. He said, I want you to go into the plains. And in Joshua 4 and 13, they're in the plains. Now skip over to Joshua chapter number 10 and reading at verse number 43. And the Bible says, so Joshua smote all the country of the hills. That's what he said in Deuteronomy 1 and 7. And then he said, and of the south, and of the valley, and of the springs, amen, where the seaside is, and all their kings, and he left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even unto Gaza, and unto the country of Goshen, and even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all of Israel with him, and they came unto the camp of Gilgal, Joshua 9 and 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on the side of Jordan, and in the hills, and in the valleys, and in the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof. And so, God was not just saying words because he was wanting to encourage somebody and try to help somebody. But God had a battle plan. God had a very specific battle plan when he told them to go into the mount, into all the places, into the plains and the hills and the valleys and the south and the seaside. Amen. And going to possess the land. That is exactly what they did in the book of Joshua. Verbatim, almost word for word, they went into the plains. They went into the hills, into the south. They went into the valleys. They went unto the great sea over against Lebanon. They did and conquered everything that God said, amen, that they were going to conquer. Why? Because when God tells you to do something, he's going to give you the power and the ability to get it done. And that mountain of the Amorites may seem like a really big mountain, and it may be inhabited with some horrible heathen. Amen. But when God says, I want you to go, because the iniquity of the Amorites is now full. Amen. Friend, it's time to pick up. It's time to pack up. And it's time to move out. Amen. It's time to go where the will of God is. I'm not here to prophesy and to tell you, yay, and 60 days and I'll move you out of this building, but I am telling you, I believe there's a group of people that are standing on go with a little bit of zeal in their step, with some electricity flowing through them, and saying, hey, I hear the sound of God, as God is saying it's time. time to revival. It's time to move out of this particular amen area. I'm not saying the physical area. I believe that God is going to fill these pews. I believe that God is going to put new families upon these pews, right here in this church, right here in these altars, baptized in His name, right here in this baptismal tank. And when it's time, God's going to say, it's time to move to the new place. It's time to move to the next city. It's time to go into the valleys. It's time to go to the south. It's time to go on the seaside. And wherever God says, it's time to go, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to march forward. I'm ready to conquer. I'm ready to have revival. Let's stand and love the Lord here tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. God didn't tell him it was time to move because he was sick of them staying there. He told him it was time to move because he had something better prepared for them. Hallelujah. You're not going to find me sitting around in a pew feeling sorry for myself when it's time to have revival. You're not going to find me sitting around twiddling my thumbs and letting everybody else carry the load when it's time to have revival. Amen. I don't plan on being a Pharaoh and wondering who God is when it's time to have revival. I don't plan on being a Herod, amen, trying to step and prevent God from doing His perfect will when it's time to have revival. I don't plan on being a Judas, amen, that's going to bring forth false accusations and find a way to work against us when it's time to have revival. Hallelujah. I don't plan on being an Ananias and Sapphira, amen, preventing revival from coming. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to walk by faith and not by sight. How do you get across Jordan? I don't know. But if God says it's time to move out of here, then He'll provide a way to get across Jordan. How are you going to conquer Jericho? I don't know. But if God says it's time to move, then Jericho too shall fall down when God says. Nero couldn't stop revival. Satan couldn't stop revival. Hymenaeus and Philetus couldn't stop revival. Amen. Nobody could stop revival. When God says it's time, amen, the Amalek cup is full. It's time to have a revival. Hallelujah. It's time to have revival. It's time to have revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. It's time to have revival. I wish somebody would get excited about having revival. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. If God be for us, then who can be against us? In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, there's not enough Goliaths to stop revival. Amen. There's not enough Philistines to stop revival. There's not enough Hivites, Jebusites, Amorites, amen, or Gergesites to stop revival. God wants revival. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is willing. God is long-suffering. God is merciful. God is ready to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. Oh, magnify the Lord. Maybe you want to come up around the front, amen, and just worship the Lord. Maybe you need to come up around the front and say, God, help my faith. Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Amen. Maybe you want to come up around the front and say, God, I am ready. Here I am, Lord. I'm ready to go forth. I'm ready to spring forth. I'm ready to step out. I'm ready to have revival. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead and tell God who you want to see saved. Go ahead and tell God who you want to see in the baptismal tank being baptized in Jesus' name. Come on, go ahead and bring their name up before the Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead and tell God how many home Bible studies you're ready to teach. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead and tell God how much you're ready to be involved.